Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
DFS DGEN Nation, what is up? What is happening? We are on to week 8. We have another, I think, pretty solid week of at least another slate that looks pretty solid right now on this week. I got a little bit of value that's opened up. We've got a lot of injuries that have over the last or since last weekend, and then you know some stuff that's out on, like especially Tony Pollard week. It looks we could be upon us here with Zeke Elliott possibly missing. But that being said, as always, we start at the quarterback position. We go position by position here. And at the quarterback position, there's not a lot of high-priced guys here on this slate. You have Jalen Hurts at 8,300, Kyler Murray at 7,500, and then Dak Prescott at 6,600, Tua at 62, Kirk Cousins at 61, and then Stafford at 6K, and then everybody else is 5K and below this week. So I think this could actually open up some pretty interesting builds with not a lot of high-priced quarterbacks on the slate. Obviously, the Chargers and Chiefs are on bye this week. Josh Allen isn't on this slate either. So I think this could open up a lot of value this week in terms of getting unique and building. Maddie, what are you doing at quarterback this week?
Yeah, so there's three games that really stand out to me from like a game stack position where I want my quarterback to come from. And that is we've got Miami and Detroit. That game opened with like a 49.5 total, I think, or 50. And it's up to 51.5, and it's only a 3.5-point spread with Miami being favored. So I have a lot of interest in Tua and a lot of interest in Goff. And, I mean, they're actually relatively cheap this week. Tua is 6,200, and Goff is 55 or 56. So very cheap quarterbacks there for a game with a total over 50 and what should be a close game. And Detroit, we talk about Detroit on the road the last few weeks and how, you know, we don't like Goff on the road. Well, now they're back at home here and we've seen their home games shoot out a couple times already this year. If we look at pull up Jared Goff's game log and his home games, home game against Seattle 3 weeks ago, 45-48. Jared Goff scored 37 DK points. Home game against Washington, 36-27. Goff scored 26 DK points. And week one against Philly, 35-38, Goff scored 16. So that's a 45-48, 36-27, and 35-38 scores there in Detroit. Meanwhile, when they go on the road, they've scored 6-0 and 24 points on the road this year. So you're looking at game totals that go absolutely nuclear when they play in Detroit. And that's because Jared Goff is just a better quarterback when he's not on the road dealing with all those, the crowd noise and having to deal with all the play calls via hand signals and all that. So I really like that Detroit-Miami game, but it's going to be popular. So just figuring out a way to be different with that game. So if everybody's going to play Tua with Tyreek, maybe you play Tua with Waddle and Gesicki to be different. Or, you know, maybe you don't play Tua and play the Goff side and run it back with Mostert and Tyreek or Mostert and Waddle. You can still play that game, absolutely. Just, you know, figure out a way to be creative with how you're getting exposure to, you know, the lower owned pieces of that game, because that game can go absolutely nuclear in any different way. I mean, Gesicki's been more involved the last 2 weeks, and we've seen Mostert take over the lead role. So, you know, he's getting 70 to 75% of the snaps there in Miami. So, and we know that you can run on Detroit. You know, we've played running backs against Detroit all year. So definitely a good spot for him and a spot that everybody should play Tua. You know, Mostert makes a lot of sense as a pivot. So I know we're talking about quarterbacks, but I guess all that to say is I think I like Goff from that game, or get creative with your Tua stack and play Waddle and Gesicki, or maybe Hill and Gesicki, Because I think if a lot of people play Tua, they're just going to plug in Hill and Waddle together. So you're not going to be able to be very different that way. So the other two games I like, I really like the Arizona-Minnesota game as well. That's another 3.5-point spread with a 49 total. We've seen, you know, Kyler Murray, just for whatever reason, and DeAndre Hopkins is good, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, Marquise Brown is good as well. And Kyler Murray looked way better with DeAndre Hopkins in the game last week. They put up over 40 points, and, you know, all year last year before Hopkins got hurt, the Cardinals were one of the top offenses in the league. And what, they start the season 8-0 or something? And then Hopkins got hurt in, like, what, week 10 or week 11? So, yeah, I mean, this Cardinals offense with Hopkins back, and they actually used him in the slot way more than they ever have. Last week in his first game back, he scored 23 DK points without catching a touchdown, which is pretty ridiculous. So I really like Kyler Murray here. We've also seen him have an uptick in rushing usage over the last couple of weeks, and that's because James Conner has been out. And Conner, you know, it has a questionable tag. He's been limited in practice, so he may actually play this week. But I still think, you know, this is a great spot for Kyler to have a big game against a Minnesota defense that can definitely be beat. And even on the other side, Kirk Cousins, like, he's in a solid spot too. We just saw Andy Dalton absolutely obliterate this Cardinals defense last week on Thursday Night Football. So Cousins always plays better at home in these 1 o'clock games. And I just really like this game environment as well. So these are probably, my quarterback is probably going to come from this game or the Detroit Miami game. Just because these two, I think these are the two games that can go absolutely nuclear this week. Outside of the third game that I'll briefly mention would be Las Vegas and New Orleans. That, you know, both those defenses aren't really playing defense, especially the Saints. The Saints have just rolled over and not played defense against anybody the last few weeks. They've been dealing with some injuries, but overall they've just not been very good. Especially in New Orleans too, which has been crazy. Usually they have that, you know, that home field advantage in the Superdome, but they've given up a ton of production, and the Saints should be able to score points against Vegas going the other way too. So, you know, I like that game a lot. I don't think my quarterback's going to come from there, just because I think both teams can do some weird things. Like, the Saints could involve Taysom Hill, and he could score, you know, two touchdowns, which obviously you're not going to play him, but he can take away from, you know, the Andy Dalton scoring touchdowns. And then on the other side, for the Raiders, I mean, we've seen Josh Jacobs absolutely crush this year, and he's finally priced up. So there's your boy Kate Otten. He just caught a touchdown. Hopefully that shoots you up the standings there in showdown tonight. But oh, replay third down, it's a flag. Oh, that stings. Holding call. So anyways, I like the Vegas New Orleans game as well. I just don't think my quarterback's going to come from there. We'll talk about running backs when we get to that, when we get to running back position. But long way to say, I really like the Miami Detroit game, and I really like the Minnesota Arizona game. And my quarterback will come from one of those two games. I am not playing Ellinger this week. I know he's only 4K, and he opens up a lot. And I know he ran for a ridiculous amount of yards. And or touchdowns in college, not a ton of yards, but yeah, I think 15 rushing touchdowns over his junior and senior year at Texas. So definitely has mobility. We saw him absolutely crush in the preseason. And Washington is a spot that you can, you know, throw the ball against. But that total was already low. It was in the low 40s before the Matt Ryan news came out, and it's dropped down into the 30s now. And the Colts are still favored. So, I mean, Vegas is not really writing off the Colts offense because they were, you know, favored with Matt Ryan starting, and now they're favored still with Ellinger starting. And that's probably more of a byproduct of Taylor Heinicke being the starting QB on the other side for Washington, even though he just beat Aaron Rodgers. So I think that game is just going to be a really slow, ugly game. And I just don't want my quarterback to come from that when I think we could have potentially Miami and Detroit, Minnesota and the Viking, or Minnesota and Arizona and Vegas and the Saints, that could all realistically could combine for 70 to 80 points. So I'm going to stack up my passing attacks from one of those three games And that is the way I am going to let the cookie crumble this week.
Yeah, I mean, I think initially my first thought was, you know, I think with his ability, it's going to depend on what the Colts do with him. I think you probably, especially in his first start, you probably see them take it, you know, really try to ground and pound here with Jonathan Taylor and really take the ball out of his hands. If you know, I think there's a way he could get there, but like you said, I think it's just a little bit too thin. This game looks really gross on the surface. I actually think if you want to pay down at a quarterback who has actually played very, very well each of the last 3 weeks, and it is against a very good defense, but that is Justin Fields. I think if you want to get different at $5,200, he has, over the last three games, he has 82 rushing yards last week against the Patriots, 88 rushing yards against the Washington Commanders, and then and right now he's had at least eight or more carries in every single game this year, and they're starting to get a little bit more creative with them and how they utilize them. They talked about last week after last week's game that they've kind of stolen some pages out of the Ravens playbook and how, you know, be able to get him some design runs. And so, and like I said, he is only $5,200 this week, and he is last week is coming off his best game of the year, scoring 24 DK points. Again, Raider, obviously the Cowboys defense is very good. They are number one in pass DVOA, but I think there's a scenario here where you could see him eclipse, you know, get close to that 100-yard marker. And, you know, I don't think he's going to throw the ball a ton. He's probably looking at 20, 25 attempts, probably somewhere in that range, because they really haven't trusted him to throw the ball a ton. I mean, even in games where they've been trailing, they still don't throw the ball. But if you're wanting to pay down at a quarterback position, I think Justin Fields is a spot you could go to. You know, I think, you know, if he can get you 20 DK points at $5,200, I think you're doing well. And I don't think you actually have to pair him with anybody. I think if you want to play him naked, I think that is a spot you could go to. If you're wanting to pay down at quarterback this week. But, you know, the other spots, I definitely agree. The games that look like the best games this week are for sure the ones that you mentioned. The Raiders and Saints game has the biggest movement we've seen. It opened up at 43.5. It's all the way up to 49.5, 6-plus point increase there. And then the other game that you mentioned, the Dolphins and Lions game opened at a 50. It's up to 51.5. And the same for the Vikings game, opened up at 47.5 and up to 49. And all of these teams are right here in the top five or six of implied point totals this week. So I think this is kind of, but I think this is where all the ownership is going to come in as well. So figuring out a little bit of ways, once ownership kind of gets more concrete, like Saturday night, getting a little bit different here, I think is going to be key, because there's not a lot of like a lot of other games that I think that really intrigue me, at least in terms of the passing games that like I feel like could be like a sneaky spot, right? Maybe if you want to talk about like this Dallas offense, maybe if there's not enough ownership coming in on them, because they do have the fourth highest implied point total this week. We know Chicago's defense is not very good, and they also just lost their best pass rusher in Robert Quinn, who was traded to the Eagles. So if you wanted to do something like that, if the Bears can kind of keep this game close, maybe going with a Dak, stack, it could be something that we could definitely look at. But like outside of that, like what is there, you know, like the Seahawks Giants game. I mean, maybe that game could get there. But we've also really seen that the Giants don't really throw the ball a ton either. Really trust and lean on their run game with Saquon. And, but I guess Daniel Jones, I guess if you wanted to go to him, I think that could be a spot you could go to, because Daniel Jones is also running the ball at a really high clip. He's averaging about 50 rushing yards per game on the season. He's not really getting it done through the air. It's been mostly on the ground for him, but you know, his rushing numbers, if you look at him as well, it's kind of very similar a little bit to Justin Fields, where last week he had 11 carries for 107 yards. Week before that, he had 6 carries. The week before that, he had 10 for 37, 6 for 68, 9 for 79. So, like, he is also getting there on the ground, and I think if he can provide you some of that, and this is a pretty good matchup against Seattle defense that has looked better, but I don't think that there are, you know, a defense that we should be afraid of attacking either. They are 19th in pass DVOA and 17th in rush DVOA, so they're right there kind of in the middle. And so Daniel Jones at $5,700, I think if you wanted to go there, you know, stack him with even Saquon and probably like Wandale Robinson is probably about as high as I would look to go because of the, you know, the pass catchers here. Outside of that, you know, they just traded Kadarius Toney today and they're missing pretty much everybody else. And Daniel Bellinger, who looked like he was coming on, I highly doubt he plays after the eye injury he suffered. And so there's not a lot there. So it is kind of thin because there's not a lot to stack him with there. And then if you were going to run it back, I think it would pretty much just be Tyler Lockett is probably what I'd be looking at. Or I guess Kenneth Walker, I guess you could do that as well. A situation you go there. And that's probably the other game that I would probably look at, but it only has a 44.5 point total. Not like great.
Yeah, I totally agree. And DFS doesn't have to be hard, right? Like last week, I mean, we had probably, I mean, Josh Allen wasn't on the main slate, right? Cause they had a bye. So who's arguably the two best quarterbacks in the NFL are Josh Allen and Pat Mahomes. And Pat Mahomes was coming in at 2% last week in a 49 total in a game they were favored. And the Chiefs absolutely obliterated the 49ers and nobody played the Chiefs at all. So like it doesn't have to be hard. Like we can still play, you know, good players in good spots in high total games where they're going to score points at low ownership. And that's the recipe to success. And you know, not everybody can play all of these spots that we just talked about. So it's just going to be a matter of figuring out which spots are going to be the lower owned and just hoping that it, you know, it works out in your favor. So like, if Tua and Tyreek are, you know, that pairing's the chalk, pivot to Mostert and Waddle and still get exposure to that game and just hope you get the differentiated points and play golf on the other side and hope that that game still shoots out and you just have a different path to how that scoring is happening. So we don't have to overthink it. We don't have to get crazy and play quarterbacks from 39 point total games and things like that. We can still play these high total games, even though there's only a couple of them. Just be smart with how you're building your roster and be responsible with, you know, total roster makeup.
Well, if there is any other quarterbacks, it sounds like there isn't.
No.
Let's go ahead and move over to the running back position where we have a little bit more excitement, I guess, a little more options that you can play there. But you have Christian McCaffrey, 8,700, Derrick Henry, in his annual beatdown matchup against the Houston Texans of 8,400. I think his last three games, he has over 600 rushing yards and like five or six touchdowns. He's just absolutely destroyed them. So he's 8,400, but he's probably going to be really highly owned. Then you have Saquon against Seattle at $8,100. Jonathan Taylor at 8K. Dalvin Cook at 7,600. Josh Jacobs, who has just destroyed the world this year, at least the last three games. He's 7,500. Alvin Kamara is 7,100. DeAndre Swift, who should be back this week, is 6,800. Miles Sanders is 6,600. Kenneth Walker, 6,500. Ramondre Stevenson, 64. David Montgomery, Damian Pierce, Zeke, and Tony Pollard, James Conner, and Jamal Williams all make up the 6K range here and above. What are we doing at running back?
Running back is extremely easy for me this week, but it's also kind of hard because there's like four or five, maybe five guys that I've narrowed my list down to, but choosing which two to three of those I'm going to play on my one team is going to be the hard part, but narrowing down the list is extremely easy for me this week. So I'm going to start from the bottom up because I'm not going to play any of these high price guys like in the 8K range. I just don't think you need to because I think that there's cheaper guys that can match them. So starting from the bottom up, the lowest I'm going to go will be Deontay Foreman at 5,300. He gets a matchup with Atlanta. Atlanta just does not play defense, especially against the rush. They've been pretty much bad at defending everything this year, but 29th in adjusted line yards, 22nd in second level yards allowed. And we just saw Foreman run for over 100 yards last week. And Chuba, I haven't seen an update on him, but I know he's questionable. And obviously they traded McCaffrey. So Foreman legit could get 25 plus carries and see five targets here in this game. So for 5,300, I just think that's ridiculously too cheap. And you already mentioned the Tony Pollard news. Zeke, it sounds like, is going to be doubtful for this game if he hasn't been ruled out already. So Tony Pollard at 6,100 against a Chicago defense that ranks 22nd in adjusted line yards, 17th in second level yards. That's a spot, you know, and in Pollard's lone start that he's had in all the way back in 2020. He only had 12 carries, but he scored 2 rushing touchdowns and saw 9 targets. So he is going to be heavily involved. He's going to be on the field pretty much for every snap. We've seen, you know, the talent that he has and the production he can have in a limited role. And now he finally gets a full blown workhorse role here, which he absolutely can handle. So I absolutely love Pollard in this matchup. 9.5-point favorite in a home game against Chicago. You have to like that a lot for him. Outside of that, you mentioned Kenneth Walker as a run back. If you're stacking that game in Seattle, the Giants are arguably the worst run defense in the NFL for a team not named Houston. The Giants rank 31st in adjusted line yards, 22nd or 27th in second level yards, and 30th in open field yards. So they're just giving up an insane amount of big plays. And part of that is because of the defensive style that they play, where they play very aggressive. They blitz a lot and play a lot of man coverage on passing down. So it just leads to a lot of big plays that can happen when you don't have good defensive front guys that play up there to stop the run. So I think Kenneth Walker has another monster game. He just ran for almost 170 yards last week, ripping off a 74-yard touchdown run with that game pretty much all but over there last week. But I think it's another monster game for him in a game that's in Seattle and they're 3-point favorites in a 44.5 total. And I think it's a 44.5 total because both teams should be able to score, but both teams are going to want to score on the ground. So I think that's why we're not seeing a total that's closer to 48-49 for that game, because there's going to be a lot of rush attempts on both sides. So the clock's going to just continue to run, but both teams should be heavily successful in being able to run the ball. So really like those three guys. And then the fourth guy and probably the highest price that I will play this week is $7,100 Alvin Kamara. And that is, if we look at Kamara in the three games so far with Andy Dalton, here's his game logs, his DK points, 27 fantasy points, 18 and 17. Those are pretty good, right? Now let's factor in the fact that Kamara has scored a total of 0 touchdowns this year for a guy that has, you know, historically made all of his money on scoring touchdowns. That is his, you know, that is his name, and what he does is he's a touchdown scoring machine, and he has not scored that this year. And with Andy Dalton at QB, Dalton continues to pepper him on short targets, which Jameis Winston refuses to do because Winston would rather throw the ball 35 yards downfield. So Kamara has been scoring, you know, 20 plus DK points regularly, and he has a 27-point game with 0 touchdowns. Now, if you throw a two touchdown game on top of that, or even 3, I mean, that 27 turns into 40 plus. And he's going to be relatively low owned because, you know, he hasn't had that monster game yet, but it absolutely is there. The ceiling is there. And we talked about the same exact thing for Austin Eckler, in week 3, week 4, because I think it was week 4, Eckler had 0 touchdowns through the first 3 weeks. And we said, you know, the Eckler game is coming. He's going to start smashing. And what happened that week? Eckler scored 3 touchdowns in that game and got his first 3 touchdowns of the year. So I absolutely could see the same thing happening right here in this spot for Kamara. And 7,100 is, I think, a price tag that not hardly anybody's going to pay. And I think he has break the slate potential. I'm talking like 40 to 45 DK points. I think he can catch, you know, 7, 8, 9 passes and score 3 touchdowns here. So I really like him a lot, but the only thing that has me hesitant on playing him is those first 3 guys, Deontay Foreman, Tony Pollard, and Kenneth Walker, are all in just as good of spots and can score multiple touchdowns and go for 100 yards as well. And they all just cost cheaper price tags. So those are the 4 guys that I'm really, really keying in on. And that's not to knock Derrick Henry against Houston, because he can smash them too. But I mean, there's 4 guys that are 1K or more cheaper than him. That, you know, I think have just as high of ceilings. So that's where I'll be going, is those 4 guys this week.
The issue is that we've seen so far this year is chalk just continues to hit every single week, right? Like fading,
especially the running back position.
Yes, has been a grave mistake for the most part this year. Like all the guys that just have been the most obvious plays just have hit, and they have it failed. And so, you know, like Derrick Henry, like I mentioned, like he just absolutely annihilated the Houston Texans. And everything lines up for this to be a great matchup. The Houston Texans are terrible against opposing running backs. They allow the most DK points to opposing running backs so far on the year, and they've just been terrible. And so, you know, against opposing running backs, we know exactly what the Titans are going to do to them. They're just going to run the football, especially with Ryan Tannehill banged up and being questionable all week. And so Derrick Henry at $8,400, like, that's not crazy to pay for him. You know, we've seen him at times in the past where he's been up over $9,000. So $8,400 Derrick Henry against the Texans, or against the Texans, I don't think is something that's that is a good place to go. Saquon Barkley, $8,100. He's in a lean spot as well. The Seahawks are not very good against the run either. They allow the fourth most DK points on the season as well. And they have really, really struggled to stop, pass catching running backs. They've allowed the second most receiving yards to running backs on the season. They are top five in receiving touchdowns allowed as well. So, you know, the Seattle defense is not very good. And I think it's definitely a spot we can look to attack with Seattle. So, I mean, those are the two high priced running backs that if I'm going to pay up for, those would be the two guys that I was going to pay up for. Tony Pollard is an elite play. I know you mentioned on Raheem Mostert. That's an elite play. It's $5,900.
Yeah. I mentioned him in the quarterback section. I didn't even mention him in the running backs. I mean, that's the fifth guy that I'm looking at too.
Yeah. I mean, they're 29th in rush DVOA. They're 31st in pass DVOA. The Lions defense are, they allow the second most DK points to running back, seventh most rushing yards, tied for the most rushing touchdowns on the year. We've seen Raheem Mostert over his last four games. He's averaging about 15 fantasy points per game over that span. He has the ninth most rushing yards, 13th in yards after contact per attempt. And since week four, he's averaging about 16 carries per game, 79% snap share with about 3.5 targets per game. 3.5 targets per game, 90 total yards per game over that span. So he's pretty much been the only guy in this offense to really get opportunity. And so Raheem Mostert, it's just an incredible spot for him. The only way I could see this getting where he doesn't really pay off would be if the Lions were able to build up a quick and early lead, and maybe they are able to run the ball as much as they want. But that's about the only spot or only way.
But even then, he's their pass catcher, and he's been involved heavily in their two-minute drill.
Yeah, about 300 yards per game,
yeah. Yeah, and like he's been their two-minute drill back. Chase Edmonds looks absolutely terrible, especially like when he's out there running routes. Like, I don't know if you watched the game last week, because that was a primetime game, but – Chase Edmonds is out there and he just looks lost and looks like he can't catch passes anymore for whatever reason. But Mostert 100% is the better back, and he's getting all of the important roles, like the involved in the goal line, and his touchdown last week was a receiving touchdown. So I just think he's game script independent. Like, he's going to be heavily involved no matter what happens there.
You're probably right. I definitely don't hate it. I also think Ramondre Stevenson at $6,400, I think is also somewhere we could look at this week as well. Even last week with Damien Harris returning, he still was the workhorse in this backfield. He ran most of our routes over the last 4 weeks. He is sixth among all running backs in targets. He's also has the sixth most rushing yards. He ranks 10th in yards after contact per attempt, 21st in avoided tackles per attempt. He also ranks top five and carries inside the five over that same span. The Jets have been okay against the run. They're 14th in rush DVOA, but they have allowed the ninth most rushing touchdowns and the 18th most rushing yards on the year. So this is definitely a matchup that you could definitely see them exploit. And so Ramondre Stevenson, especially in the fact that he's going to be involved in the passing game as well, he's getting a lot of goal line work, and I'm not really all that as concerned with Damien Harris. He's still only $6,400. It feels like he should be more expensive than that for the volume and the work that he's getting, especially, like I said, in the passing game. Saw 8 targets last week, but he's seen 5 or more targets in every single game. You have to go way back to week 2, the last before when he didn't. And so he has scored at least 20 DK points in 4 of the last 5 games that he's played in. So I think this is a really good matchup for Ramondre Stevenson at only $6,400. I think he is going to be a nice leverage off of probably what's going to be Kenneth Walker, who's probably going to be probably carry some decent ownership. And then after that, I think DeAndre Swift is also pretty interesting in that same game that we're talking about with the Miami Dolphins. I don't know how many people are going to want to go to him. He continually has missed time this year with an injury. Everybody thought he was going to return last week. He didn't. But he is looks like he is ready to go. He is practicing in full so far every day this week. He's only played in three games this year, but we know the elite usage that he can bring. He's terrific in the passing game. He's really game script dependent. He's still $6,800. Again, I think this is it could be nice leverage off of like a Josh Jacobs at $7,500. That's a little bit more expensive, or even an Alvin Kamara, and that's really close to him as well. So I think DeAndre Swift against Miami. I think you could look to go there as well. He's only $6,800. Whether you want to play him as part of a stack, or I think that is a way you could go to at the running back position. In terms of like pay down options, there's just nobody that really stands out to me. Like maybe James Conner, who is probably going to play this week against Minnesota. Minnesota, you know, hasn't been that great. Cliff Kingsbury talked about earlier in this week about talked about that they think he should be ready to go this week. But James Conner right now looks like a decent option in this matchup. Minnesota ranks 21st in rush DVOA. They've allowed the 14th most rushing yards and the 10th most rushing touchdowns on the season. I don't know how much of a pass catching role he's going to have, which is what would worry me about actually playing him this week because of that. Because he pre-injury, he was seeing about four targets per game, but with the emergence of, you know, Benjamin, he could end up losing some of that opportunity, you know, and not really be involved there. But in terms of just like kind of a cheaper option that I think that could get there on the ground, and, you know, he's obviously going to maintain the goal line work. He's only $6,100. I think if you wanted to go there, but that feels a little bit thin to me. But he's still, like I said, he's $6,100. He's going to carry no ownership whatsoever in what should be a pretty decent matchup for him.
Yeah, Other than that, I can't get to him at $6,100, but I get it.
Yeah. It's like I said, I just think the matchup is there for him. And I just don't know what his, especially pass catching, you know, usage is going to be. You know, the most targets he's seen in any game this year was six. That was all the way back in week one. Other than that, it was 6, 4, 5, 3, and then 1. And like I said, we've started to see, you know, Benjamin really emerge in that role. So, is there any other running backs you really want to hit on?
No, I'm good with my five.
All right. So, well, just for, since, you know, we talked for a bit, who are those five that you're looking to play again this week?
Kamara is the highest I'm going. Then going down from there, Walker, Pollard, Mostert, Deontay Foreman.
All right, so the guys that I think I'm looking at the most this week is, like I said, Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, shocker. You know, I'm really going on a limb with those guys. But then, like I said, Ramondre Stevenson for me, Tony Pollard for sure, and then Raheem Mostert would be the other guy that I would be looking at $5,900. So,
I'm surprised you don't like Foreman at 53.
I don't know. It just feels like a little thin to me with him. I know he played really well last week, but trusting what he did last week. And Atlanta actually hasn't been terrible against opposing running backs so far this year.
I probably won't end up there myself just because I don't want to play a running back on a team that's the Carolina Panthers. Like, I mean, how many touchdowns are they going to score, right? I mean, Atlanta's bad for sure, but I mean, Carolina scores maybe 3 touchdowns max on a good day. And I mean, hoping that, you know, the running back gets 2 of those, I don't know. I agree. It feels a little thin, but 5,300 is definitely cheap on a slate where there's some high priced wide receivers that we're getting ready to talk about that we definitely want exposure to. But I definitely think the other four guys that I mentioned, Mostert, Pollard, Walker, and Kamara, definitely have higher ceilings than Foreman. So I'll probably end up with 2 or 3 of those 4.
Let me ask you this. I doubt we see it now. I think if it does happen, it's probably going to happen Monday or Tuesday. But if Alvin Kamara were to get traded, because there's a lot of speculation going on right now that Alvin Kamara can be traded, and since we're not going to be around to talk about it, if that were to happen, would you consider $4,800 Mark Ingram?
No.
So you would just be completely off of it?
Yep.
Because I think he would actually be somewhat of an interesting option because they don't really have anybody else, and I think he would be the lead back here.
They don't. I'm not playing a dusty ass Mark Ingram when I've got those other guys we talked about. I mean, like I've got five guys I like, and that's excluding Derrick Henry against the Houston Texans, and that's excluding Saquon Barkley against Seattle. Like I just don't think it's a week. We've got five, six, seven guys that can absolutely break the slate. I just don't think it's a week to play $4,800 Mark Ingram. And like, I know you have to get cheaper guys because you have to stay under the salary cap. But I just think I'd rather take shots on cheaper wide receivers or even a near min price tight end that we'll talk about.
Excuse me. Yeah, I probably agree with you. I probably wouldn't do it either. I was just curious because I know.
Didn't CMC absolutely smash the game before he got traded? Like they just kept giving him carries and dump offs. Like, could this just be a Kamara showcase game?
He scored 20. CMC scored 22.8 the week before he got traded. So it wasn't bad. He had 13 carries. He was also 8 targets.
Yeah. So 21 opportunities. But yeah, I mean, if the Saints are looking to trade Kamara, one, they don't want him to get hurt. But two, I mean, the flip side of that is it could be a showcase game where, you know, give him some touchdowns and make it maybe that fourth rounder turns into a third rounder or something.
I will say, too, something that should be mentioned for that Raiders game that could go under the radar is.
Oh, Hankins getting traded. Yes. I completely forgot to mention that, but yeah. That was one of the first things that got me on Kamara.
Yeah, and he is the Raiders' highest grade. He's been the Raiders' best run defender this mm-hmm. entire year. So losing him could also be
that's pretty, big pretty near good. The goal line. Really big near the goal line.
Yeah.
So I'm playing Kamara for his pass catching role, not near the goal line, and then I'm playing him for 2 to 3 touchdown upside when they get down there.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, let's go ahead and go over to wide receiver. So we have Cooper Kupp at $9,600, Justin Jefferson at $91, Devontae Adams at $8,600, Tyreek at $85, A.J. Brown at $7,700, and then Deebo Samuel, DeAndre Hopkins, Michael Pittman, and CeeDee Lamb are wrap up the 7K range. 6K range, we have Amon Ross St. Brown at $6,900, then Jaylen Waddle, Tyler Lockett, Devonta Smith, Adam Thielen, Brandon Ayuk, Chris Olave, which is incredibly too cheap for that price, and then Terry McLaurin wrap up the 6K and above. Also, you know, we talked about, I highly doubt, I know he's listed as questionable right now, but I highly, highly, highly doubt DK Metcalf plays this week, which would leave Tyler Lockett at $6,500 as kind of the guy. What are you doing at wide receiver this week?
So I like receiver a lot this week. I just think whichever game I end up stacking is probably where my high price receiver is going to come from. Because there's definitely going to be some slate breaking receivers up top. Whether it's Justin Jefferson against Arizona, which Arizona's actually quietly defended the opposing wide receiver ones very, very, very well this year. Until the Saints game last week, they have absolutely shut down opposing wide receiver ones. Like we're talking Cooper Kupp went for like, let me pull up Cooper Kupp's game log. Cause he's on this slate. So in week three, Cooper Kupp had 6 targets and he caught 4 passes for 44 yards. Like we're talking about Cooper Kupp here. So Justin Jefferson at 9,100, I probably won't get there even if I stack that game, because I just think he doesn't have as big of a ceiling. I'd like my Minnesota guy will probably end up being Irv Smith if I stack that game, just because tight ends against Arizona is a thing. And we saw Juwan Johnson catch 2 touchdowns on last week on primetime. So I'm probably going to not end up with any Kupp or any Jefferson. Devontae Adams missed practice today with a bad case of the flu. So it's up in the air if he's even going to play this week. I would assume he's fine, but he obviously doesn't need to practice, but definitely keep an eye on him. But it's really, really hard not to like Tyreek as the top option this week. He's been absolutely smashing this year. He's getting an insane amount of targets, 13, 15, 7, 14, 4, 13, and 12. And he absolutely crushes with Tua, and Tua just continues to look for him over and over and over again. And we know the Lions can't defend anybody, especially speed guys like Tyreek. So I think Tyreek has a monster game. He's somebody I'm definitely looking to play. DeAndre Hopkins, we already mentioned that, you know, they moved him to the slot, and he played a ton of slot, for the most slot he's ever played as a Cardinal last week in his return to the lineup. So scored 23. We always talk about, you know, how many DK points did they score without scoring a touchdown? Because when you get that two touchdown game, you know, and we can't really predict the two touchdowns games, but when you get them, they send you from DeAndre Hopkins scoring 23 points to scoring 35 points and breaking the slate. So him scoring 23 with no touchdowns is very, very, very encouraging. Had double digit targets, and 7,400 is absolutely a price tag we can swallow. We know Kyler Murray is going to continue to look for him over and over again. So I really like Hopkins and Tyreek if paying up all the way at the top. I mentioned Jalen Waddle already. I think he's a great, if you're not playing Tua, I think he's a great pivot off Tyreek if you can't afford Tyreek, because I think one or both of those guys could absolutely smash Detroit here. And Amon-Ra St. Brown on the other side of that game, they ruled him out for a concussion last week and then come out and say he didn't even have a concussion, which, you know, kind of makes you think back to Tua when they said, oh, Tua just had a back injury or whatever. But I thought that was kind of crazy that, you know, he got ruled out really early in that Dallas game last week and ended up not even having a concussion. So he should be a full go. I know he's got a Q tag on him, but he should be a full go. You mentioned the DK Metcalf news. If he doesn't play, I kind of like Marquise Goodwin. He's relatively cheap for a slate that you need value on. He scored two touchdowns last week, so it does feel a little bit chasing, especially in a game where they should be able to just run the ball over and over again, so they may not need to throw a ton in that game. So definitely think that Seattle is a situation we need to monitor. Moving down the list, Devontae Smith at 6,300 against a Pittsburgh defense that can't defend the pass at all. He's interesting. I didn't even mention A.J. Brown, but both Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown are absolutely in play here. I just think if I'm not playing Jalen Hurts, paying up for A.J. Brown just doesn't make sense to me on this slate when you've got Tyreek Hill and Amon-Ra and Jalen Waddle up there in those same price tags. So moving down further, you already mentioned it, Chris Olave, 6K. That is just way too cheap for the role that he's got. And Las Vegas can definitely give up a ton of production to wide receivers. And, I mean, is Olave even, like, is he matchup proof at this point? Because I just mentioned how Arizona's been shutting down opposing wide receiver ones, and Olave turned 14 targets into 7 catches for 106 yards and scored 21 DK points against Arizona without catching any touchdowns. So if Olave finds the end zone, he's got a game of 26 and a game of 20 without scoring a touchdown already this year. So, you know, we could see him in the 26 to 30 point range at only 6K if he scores, which is very possible in one of the highest total games of the week. So I really like him a lot. Then moving down the list even further into the 5K to 4K range, DJ Chark's been placed on IR, so I really like Josh Reynolds, even though he has a Q tag. He's practicing in limited capacity. He's questionable, but he's a guy that Jared Goff really trusts and should be the number two behind Amon-Ra. And with them getting DeAndre Swift back as well, that offense should just be more efficient as a whole. And I just think the Lions can score a bunch of points here against Miami, which Miami has been a team that you can throw on but can't really run on. So they're more of a pass funnel defense, and Reynolds makes some sense for stacking that game up and is one of the cheaper pieces of that game, even though he's, you know, still 5K. So he's very interesting. And then moving down further, I mentioned Goodwin. He's 4,400. He's a guy I have interest in. Oh, and Wandale Robinson, I know you brought him up. 4,700 for a guy that should see double-digit targets here. Finally saw a bigger workload last week, saw 8 targets, turned 6 of them into 50 yards. He's got 13 and 11 DK points in back-to-back games and has played in limited capacity, but should continue to see his snaps go up, so I really like him. And then if Nico Collins is out, Philip Dorsett is somebody that's interesting at near min price. I'm not sure I'm going to get there. He's 3,200. But that Nico Collins role has been rather interesting. And we saw Dorsett essentially just stepped right into it and filled in for him and caught a touchdown last week. Had a couple catches for over 40 yards and a score. So 3,200 for a guy that's playing in a game where Houston should be trailing against Tennessee, which Tennessee is, we know, is a defense you can definitely throw on. I definitely don't hate that for 3,200, but that's not somebody that I'm just like, you know, just jamming in and saying, oh, he's the best value play of the slate, because he's not. I just think he's rather interesting. So curious to hear your thoughts and if you have any other cheap wide receivers that you like.
You know, I think there's a few guys. You know, actually, Nico Collins himself would have been interesting, but I don't think he's going to play. He hasn't practiced at all this week. So I don't think that he is actually – he will play. I think somebody like a Tyquan Thornton could actually be kind of an interesting name to take a look at this week at his price right now. He is $3,800 against the Jets. You know, he saw five targets last game. He's seen five or more targets each of the last 2 weeks. Obviously, last week wasn't that great, but that Patriots offense outside of like two drives did not look very good whatsoever. But he did see 21.3 DK points. They, you know, gave him a couple carries and all that kind of stuff. But I think they seem to look for him, especially once they get down inside the red zone. He is a super dynamic guy. So, you know, if you want to get a little, you know, play him at $3,800, I think we could definitely, you could look at something like that. In terms of the, you know, just kind of overall picture here, Devontae Adams is going to be really hard not to play at $8,600 against the Saints secondary that is absolutely beat up right now. Marshawn Lattimore doesn't look like he's going to play. That is a big problem for the secondary. Devontae Adams could absolutely go nuclear here in this game against the Saints, obviously inside the dome here, but he's $8,600. So I think, you know, you're going to have to make a decision here on, you know, because you're not going to be able to pay up for everybody. You also have Cooper Kupp, which, you know, you don't need me to sell you on Cooper Kupp. But one thing I will say is the San Francisco secondary is beat up. They are missing a lot of pieces and on this defense right now. This is not the same defense. We just saw the Chiefs just absolutely go scorched earth against them and just, I mean, beat the hell out of them and really kind of do whatever they wanted to do. They had three wide receivers, almost have over 100 yards in that game. And so, you know, it's, you know, even though he's really expensive and, you know, you're going to have to make some concessions everywhere, somewhere else to be able to play Cooper Kupp, but he's $9,600, you know, at home here. You know, both of those two guys, I think, are guys that, and Cooper Kupp's ownership is not going to be anything crazy when he's $9,600. It's going to be low because people are going to want to do other things and go other places here. And
something that's big for that offense too is if Van Jefferson comes back. I mean, they said he's set to return. He's still got an IR tag next to his name, so I don't know if they've actually activated him. I think his IR window is open, and he can come back this week. But I don't know that he's actually going to come back. And even if he does come back, he's going to play limited snaps. So like he's min price. He's 3K. I'm not playing him. But the fact that if he does come back, I just think that what he brings to the offense can really open that offense up, because that's what they're missing, right, is a downfield field stretcher that has speed and can take the top off. Because, I mean, Allen Robinson, he doesn't really have that anymore. He's become more of a, you know, possession receiver. Kupp obviously can do everything, but he's been a key focus of every defense they've ever played, and he still crushes them. So I just think if Van Jefferson comes back, I know they've had offensive line issues, but I think missing Van for the first 8 weeks has really been a big knock to them. So he will be a big piece to that offense when he returns, I think, as just from the offensive perspective as a whole.
Yeah, I should open things up a little bit more for that offense instead of Ben Skowronek.
Yeah, exactly.
As the other wide receiver there. Yep. Also, again, A.J. Brown. I know, again, not breaking any new news, but this is a smash matchup for him. I don't care who he's going to see, whether it's Levi Wallace, Arthur Mollett, you know, James Pierre. Like, it does not matter. Nobody in that secondary is anybody that I'm all that concerned with. So A.J. Brown is also an elite spot. He's probably a little bit too cheap at 7,700. So if you're going to pay up, I'm going to be looking at probably Cooper Kupp, Devontae Adams, or AJ Brown. I completely agree. I think Jaylen Waddle has just as high of ceiling as Tyreek Hill does. He's cheaper. He's only $6,700. You know, he doesn't necessarily see the same, you know, at least high volume number of targets compared to Tyreek Hill, who sees 13, 15, 7, 14 over his last four games. Compare that to Jaylen Waddle, who only has one game over really six targets, 5, 10, 4, and 5 over that span. But we know he has that that ability in him to just go absolutely nuclear. I definitely agree that I think, you know, getting a little bit different and playing him instead of Tyreek Hill can be just enough to make your lineup a little bit different. Like, you don't have to go crazy when you're building your lineups, you know, with just trying to play all these guys that are like, you know, sub 10% or something like that. Like, you can play some guys that are going to be 30 or even 40% rostered. Just making a couple concessions here and there can make your lineup different and really set you apart to be able to get to the top. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, as we're trying to do, I think sometimes we get caught and trying to be too cute and like trying to play all these guys that are going to be, you know, unowned. And then you end up, you know, just getting rolled because, you know, it's fine to play chalk. It's just, you just got to, you know, find a couple of different spots where, you know, pivot to a different spot to get leverage on, you know, on the field. And, you know, that's enough to be able to get you to the top of a tournament. And yeah. So
what just to piggyback on that really quick, and then I'll let you keep rolling. But something I've tried to force myself to do is to think about, you know, how many total touchdowns can this team score this week? Like, this guy I want to play, like, can this team score three or four touchdowns? Because then that eliminates me having to be perfect at predicting that team, right? So, like, let's say a team scores one or two touchdowns and you play a guy from that game. Pretty much every guy you have needs to score. So, like, if a team only scores one touchdown, then your guy has to be the guy that gets in the end zone, right? But if you're getting exposure to these, you know, there's usually a handful of teams at least that are scoring three or four touchdowns on any given slate. As long as your guys are coming from those specific teams, you know, generally that's where the good value plays come from, because the value plays tend to smash in those game environments that tend to smash. So playing the $3,400 guy that's in a 38 total is usually not the way to go. And was something I've been trying to force myself to get off of. Even though, you know, maybe somebody's grading out okay because he's getting decent volume. But I mean, if a team's not scoring, the production's not going to be there for anybody, let alone the guy that you played. So that's I think you make a really good point, as, you know, it all circles back to, you know, playing good players on good teams that are going to score points and just being different with how you're doing that. DFS doesn't have to be hard. You just have to be different.
Yeah, I mean, I can't tell you how many times, you know, that, you know, you try to get a little cute and, like, for example, Derrick Henry. I very rarely seem to ever play Derrick Henry. And then when he smashes, it's like, okay, hat tip. All right, this week's over, you know? Yep. And, like, again, he's kind of in that spot again this week against Houston where, you know, that this could go, you know, not well. And if you're fading him, then you just be prepared if you're going to fade him and he goes off, that your day is going to be done. And unless there's a couple other running backs that put up the same type of production that he can, because, I mean, he's a guy that can put up 40. You know, he can go out and rush for 200 yards and three scores in this game against the Texans. So just, you know, absolutely, you have to make a stand here. Other than that, you know, I think Brandon Ayuk is a little bit interesting. He's seen 22 targets over his last two games. You know, I think that, I don't know, it might be a little bit thin. He's only 6K. He's cheaper than Deebo Samuel. And he kind of looks like he's more of the wide receiver one in this offense.
Deebo might not play, too.
Right. Deebo Samuel is questionable. He hasn't practiced. He didn't practice today. We'll see what he's able to do tomorrow. But if he can't, you know, that makes him a very, very sharp play, because you don't really have a whole lot else past them. You know,
do you like Juwan Jennings? I know you were mentioning him, but do you like him? Yeah.
I mean, I think what is he?
I know three he's something.
$3,300.
Yeah.
But Juwan Jennings also didn't practice today.
Of course he didn't.
Yeah. Let's see.
Yeah, he's hamstring too. They're both hamstring. Deebo's also hamstring. I mean, because the Rams haven't really played great pass defense this year. I mean, they've defended the tight end position well, but I mean, the receivers have absolutely crushed them throughout the whole year. So, I mean, I definitely think Ayuk is definitely in play, especially if Debo plays.
Oh, for sure. You'd be looking at Danny Gray, who's 3K, and Ray McLeod would be the other two wide receivers they have.
Jeez.
So it could be really setting up to be able to play a lot of Brandon Ayuk, who's only 6K. And then you would also have George Kittle at $5,700. That would be in play as well, who's going to get a bump in targets as well.
Yeah. At a tight end position that has nobody to play this week. No, you're good. I mean, that's definitely a situation.
Danny Gray would be interesting because I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he was their third round pick out of SMU this year. 6 foot, almost 200 pounds. He ran a 4.33 40. He was kind of a guy over the offseason, especially like preseason, that a lot of people were kind of hyping up as kind of being a sleeper option. But if both of those guys were to be out, I mean, he hasn't really seen much work this year. He's only seen 6 targets all year. No catches, no receptions, so he really hasn't done anything. But super explosive guy, has a 93rd percentile speed score here. And like I said, if they were to miss, he's only 3K. They're going to have to throw the ball to somebody. I guess obviously they have Christian McCaffrey there now too, so they could use him, utilize him in that role as well. But Danny Gray could kind of be an interesting option here, at 3K.
So we've got, pulling up last year's game logs, there was one game that Debo missed last year. They lost 30-23 to Seattle. Jimmy G threw the ball 30 times. They ran it 22 times. Mitchell had 3 targets. Kittle had 12 targets, 9 catches, 181 yards, and 2 scores in the game Debo missed last year. Outside of that, Ayuk had 6 targets, 3 catches, 55 yards, no touchdowns. And Sherfield had 5 targets, 2 catches for 16 yards. Juwan Jennings had 1 target, 1 catch, 8 yards. So they really just said this is going to be a George Kittle game. Now, granted, it was against Seattle, so that is a tight end, heavy spot where you want to target tight ends against that defensive scheme. But I mean, last year when Debo missed the game, that's the only game we have of Debo missing a game last year. George Kittle had 12 targets, and the next highest was Ayuk with 6. So I think it's definitely a spot where you just pick one of the guys. Like, I wouldn't play both Ayuk and Jennings, or Kittle and Jennings, or Ayuk and Kittle. I would just pick one and hope that, that's the guy that they're going to utilize. The only knock against Kittle is the Rams rank really good against tight ends this year. So,
yeah, but I mean, I kind of feel like he's sort of matchup proof too.
He is. When he gets volume, he absolutely is.
Yeah. I mean,
what's he done? I'm just curious what he did against the Rams in the past. Last year, 7 targets, 5 catches, 50 yards and a score. 7 targets, 5 catches, 10 yards, and no scores. So, 14 targets in 2 games against them.
So, before we jump over to the tight end position, I just want to hit on a couple more guys, and then we can move over and keep this thing moving here. Kind of got off track a little bit. But I do think Wandale Robinson, who's $4,700, he is definitely in play. Like I said, they lost Kadarius Toney. They traded him away. I don't know. Maybe Kenny Galladay plays. Maybe he doesn't. Who really cares? Because he's terrible. But Darius Slayton, I also think in that same offense, both of those guys are sub 5K. I think have some appeal here, especially if they were to get a behind at all and they have to throw the ball a little bit more. But both of those guys, we saw Darius Slayton. He's had 6 or more targets in two of the last 3 games, where he has scored 13.9 and 14.8 DK points. And then Wandale Robinson is a guy that they just seem to try to get the ball in his hands. He now looks like the kind of locked in wide receiver 1 here for this team. He saw 8 targets last week against Jacksonville. So I think both of those guys who are sub 5K are 2 spots that I think that I really like. I think both of them are in play here. I wanted to say Paris Campbell, who's been seeing a ridiculous amount of targets, but I just don't know what the hell to expect now with Sam Ehlinger out there. Mm. Everything's going to change who he targets. Mm-hmm. I mean, so I'm not going to be chasing that at $4,500. I was going to have some interest before that, but now I just don't think.
I'm not playing any Colts this week.
You know, the one case I think you could make for is Michael Pittman. Because, I mean, Washington, listen, we want to attack Washington through the air. Washington's run defense is really good. Their pass defense is terrible. Their pass defense has been completely suspect this year. They are in the bottom half of pass DVOA. They're in the bottom half of fantasy points allowed to opposing wide receivers this year. And what we typically see with young quarterbacks is they will just feed one target, right? They will just lock on to that one guy. And who's that one guy for this team? It's probably Michael Pittman, right? He's $7,200. I think a lot of people are going to feel the same way. He's right around a lot of these other pass catchers here. He may be viewed as being priced up. But, I mean, it's possible. He could see 15 targets in this game, especially if they were to fall behind at all. I know they're kind of favorite here in this game. And you're probably right. This is two teams that are probably going to try to run the ball and kind of play slow-paced game. But if he makes a couple of mistakes, he turns the ball over a couple of times here early on in this game, and there, you know, he's forced to, you know, open up this offense that won't throw the ball. Michael Pittman could see a massive amount of targets here. There's not a lot else. I mean, obviously Alec Pierce, but then Paris Campbell, but those aren't guys that they're going to be target hogs like Michael Pittman can. So, you know, if you wanted to go with somebody like that, Michael Pittman at $7,200, I think could be a spot that he's going to be probably virtually unknown. I don't think anybody's going to want to play him with the situation that you have going on here with this offense. But I think you could do that. And then, you know, you mentioned it, but Chris Olave is 1,000% play. He's just incredibly too cheap.
I mean, he's at what point – I saw somebody tweet this. I can't remember who it was earlier today, but at what point do we start lumping him into the Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase rookie year crowd?
He already is. He's like
he has to be, right?
50 or 60 receiving yards behind Jamar Chase of where he was at his rookie year.
Right, yeah, now. And so, like, just think about – would you play Jamar Chase at 6K and would you play Justin Jefferson at 6K? Like, that's, I know it's tough to think about a rookie at 6K, right? But I mean, that's just what he is and what his role is and his upside. It's like, it's just 6K just feels too cheap for him.
And really the only thing that's really, that's kind of not, I don't want to say held him back, but that's limited his ceiling a little bit. It's just been touchdowns because he does have two and he has scored two in the last 3 weeks, but week four and week five, he did miss a week. But like that's really been the only thing because I mean, he's seeing an incredible amount of targets. And we're talking about, looks like Jarvis Landry, Michael Thomas, looks like both those guys are going to be missing once again. And so it really kind of, it becomes pretty thin and he's going to see a ton of targets. And so he saw 14 last week against Arizona. But we've seen now, three games, three of his last five games, he's seen double-digit targets, and this looks like another game where that could definitely happen. So it's hard not to love, even if he's going to be chalky at 6K, it's really hard to get away from that. And so, like I said, I do think somebody like Brandon Ayuk is in play. I already talked about that. But Chris Olave is going to be so hard to get away from because it's such an elite spot, and he's so mispriced of where he should be.
Yeah, I don't even hate the idea of playing Olave and Kamara together and just getting all the Saints points, assuming Taysom Hill doesn't keep scoring all the touchdowns. Because I think the touchdowns are going to flip to these other guys eventually, right? It's good. It's just it's inevitable to happen.
So just play Andy Dalton, Kamara, and Chris Olave. Run it back with Davante Adams.
You could, absolutely. Or you don't even need to play Dalton. You can just play Adams with Kamara and Olave and then play, you know, run like a cheap line stack, like run golf with Josh Reynolds and Amon-Ra and then run it back on the other side with Gesicki or something cheap or Mostert. Like that doesn't really break the bank. And that's seems like a team that you could maybe be able to fit. But yeah, I definitely think that you could definitely get exposure to the expensive guys in the Vegas Saints game and then get your cheap stack, like stack up another game for cheap, which would probably end up being Miami Detroit because that's probably the cheapest of the between Minnesota and Arizona. Minnesota, if you're stacking Minnesota and Arizona, you have to spend up for those guys because that's outside of Irv Smith. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is really the only Cardinal you want to play, him and Kyler Murray, because Kyler Murray can account for all the rushing production himself. And all the stuff through the air should go to Hopkins. And then on the other side, if Jefferson is limited at all, like I said, we'll talk. I mean, we can even jump to tight end now unless you have other wide receivers. But
only the other player that I wanted to mention, or other two that really quickly, they were kind of in that same exact range as we were just talking about. But Terry McLaurin, he's clearly Taylor Heineke's favorite target. He saw 8 targets last week, 73 yards and a score. Again, not a terrible matchup against Indianapolis. Again, not a great game. It's not a great game to target here, but Terry McLaurin's only 6K. I think he can easily get past that. And then from there, DJ Moore, I want to talk about him. He's $5,300 against Atlanta. Really good matchup here for him as well. He saw 10 targets last week. You know, there's nobody else there for them to throw the ball to now. I mean, they've shipped out Robbie Anderson. They've shipped, you know, obviously Christian McCaffrey's gone. So targets have to go somewhere. And DJ Moore just could see just a ridiculous target share every single week because of that. And he's only $5,300. We know he is a very, you know, he's in the conversation of, you know, being a, you know, kind of an elite option you know, in terms of just stacking up against other wide receivers. Obviously, quarterback and everything else, situation is completely different. But DJ Moore is a much better player than a $5,300 wide receiver should be. And so I also think him in this matchup against Atlanta, especially, you know, inside the dome here, I think is a spot you could also go to. You know, I'm not looking to stack him or anything like that, just playing him by himself. Really do like that as well. So I think that would be the other option that I think you could look at outside of maybe playing guys in stacks. Like, you know, if you want to play Allen Robinson and Matt Stafford stack, whatever. But those would be kind of the guys. So I know we've talked about a ton of wide receivers here. So we can kind of narrow it down again, like we always talk about. Who are the five wide receivers that you want to, that you are having the most interest in?
Tyreek, Hopkins, Amon-Ra, Olave. And for value, I'll say Wandale. And then I'll throw in a bonus six guy. If you're not playing Tyreek, play Waddle. I think one of those two guys. I don't know. I just think I probably would not make a team this week without one of those two. I don't see Miami failing here. And those two guys are literally 60% of the passing offense.
Yeah. Okay. So for me, it's Davante Adams. I already talked about it. I mean, I think it's an elite spot, especially with no Marshawn Lattimore, $8,600. AJ Brown. And then, Jalen Waddle would be number three for me. I think he, makes a ton of sense, and he is not going to carry the ownership that he probably should. And then Brandon Ayuk, already talked about him. Chris Olave, and then I think DJ Moore would be the other guy that I really kind of like here at cheaper range. If you want to get super cheap, I totally agree with you. I already talked about Wandale, and I think Darius Slayton are two spots we could look to. And then, you know what? If you want to get a little bit crazy this week, I think Danny Gray could make some sense if both of those guys are out. If Deebo Samuel were to miss and Juwan Jennings, I think Danny Gray could be an option that you could look at, but I don't know, maybe it's a little bit too thin, but he's like 3K, so it'd be a full punt. Anyways, let's go ahead and jump over to the tight end position here so we can get this thing wrapped up. George Kittle's $5,700. Darren Waller sounds like he could actually return. He was another limited participant this week. Zach Ertz is $5,100. Dallas Goedert, 5K. TJ Hockenson, Tyler Higbee, and Kyle Pitts, the Enigma, wraps up the 4K range. So, who are we playing at tight end this week? I think for me, I will say this, Irv Smith is definitely in play. $3,500, completely agree there. Great spot, great matchup here for Irv Smith. And he's kind of starting to, get a little bit more involved in this offense as of recently. And so I do think, we can be swerving with Irv, as Debro would say. If those other guys are gone, George Kittle at $5,700, I think is definitely a spot you can look at. So you said there was a min price guy that you really wanted to play. Who are you speaking of?
Yeah. So you mentioned that Bellinger is going to be out he's got to get eye surgery. So they said he's out indefinitely. So this Chris Myarik guy, who's 2,800, he's already caught one touchdown this year, and it was a 1 yard touchdown. So he's definitely somebody that they have packages for near the goal line. And now he should step into the tight end one role. He's been the guy that's been playing all the snaps and running more routes than preseason legend Tanner Hudson. But he's the guy that I would play. And last week, it seems like he stepped into the role after Bellinger got hurt, because he had two catches on two targets for 21 yards. And I don't think that he's going to absolutely smash. And the only reason I want to play him, or not necessarily want to play him, but will play him, is because I just think tight end is absolutely disgusting on a weekly basis. But especially this week, when we don't have any of the top guys both Andrews and Kelsey are not on the slate. George Kittle's at 5,700. He's absolutely in play if Debo misses. It's just the Rams have locked down tight ends all year long. And I think his ceiling could be something, you know, that could just be tempered because of that. And so outside of, you know, Kittle, but he's definitely in play. I mean, he's got the highest ceiling of any tight end on the slate. You like, you have to consider him. But 5,700 on a slate where there's no value, and tight ends has been a gross position all year. So if you get, you know, 10 points from a guy that's, you know, near min price, I mean, you're chilling. So, I think the Giants guys, whichever one, you know, if they come out and say Hudson's going to be the pass catcher, then I would have interest in him, and he's even cheaper. But I think it seems like Myarik is going to be the guy that gets the first crack at being this main tight end. And Bellinger, I mean, he's had a couple games where he put up 10 plus DK points. So, you know, the tight end position hasn't been heavily utilized for the Giants, but we've said it all year long, attack Seattle with tight ends. Seattle and Arizona are the two defenses that you just play tight ends against. So I absolutely could see one of these Giants guys catching a touchdown. And so, you know, even if he only catches, you know, three passes for 30 yards and gets a score, you're looking at 12 DK points for 2,800. So on a slate with no value, that's absolutely not going to kill you at all. So Kittle and Myarik, and then you mentioned Irv Smith. He's the third guy that I have interest in. 3,500 is only 700 more than the Giants guy. So if you can make that $700 work elsewhere, I absolutely would prefer Irv Smith over the Giants tight ends. But if you are desperate for that $700 salary, the Giants tight end is, you know, who I would go bottom of the barrel fishing for. But yeah, Irv Smith is really, really hard not to like him at 3,500 after watching Juwan Johnson catch two touchdowns against his defense last week.
Yeah, I don't disagree. You kind of mentioned earlier, Mike Gesicki has seen 14 targets over his last two games.
Yep.
It's a really good matchup for him.
If you're stacking that game, I absolutely would play Gesicki.
Yeah. I mean, we already know, how, you know, this Detroit defense, is dreadful. So I do think you go there. It does worry me a little bit sometimes because they finally figured out that maybe he's not a blocking tight end, and that you should just use him as a move tight end and, you know, move him around the formation instead of trying to, you know, make him something he's not. But he's only $3,800 in a great matchup. So he's certainly, I think, in play. And then TJ Hockenson has a really good matchup as well, $4,900 if you're not wanting to play Amon Ross St. Brown, if you want to stack this game up. TJ Hockenson, he was limited today, but Miami allows the sixth most DK points to the position right now. And so I think, you know, that is definitely a spot you go to if you're wanting to stack this game up. Those would be the other two options there. Zach Ertz, I guess you could maybe look at, but I mean, from the usage he was seeing, he saw a pretty big drop last week. You know, he had 20 targets between week 5 and 6, and then he dropped all the way down to 4. Now, I don't know if that's just a one-week deal, but Minnesota has struggled against tight ends as well this season. And so, really, I think you could go there. But if I'm going to pay $5,100, I would probably just find the other $600 and play George Kittle instead of playing Zach Ertz there in that spot. Other than that, you know, there's a lot of short, you know, or kind of thin type options like a Cole Kmet or, you know, guys like that. Even like a Patty Fry who sees a lot of opportunity here. He's 9 targets again last week for him. He seems to be, you know, kind of one of their favorite targets there for Kenny Pickett, who looks like he should play. But everything else seems pretty thin. I do think the Giants tight end is kind of an interesting spot because Seattle is abysmal against tight ends. They have allowed the 22 DK points a week allowed per game. And then you have Arizona, who is second with 21. And then there's a big drop-off all the way down to Atlanta with 16.9. So there's a pretty big drop-off there between those two teams, between Seattle and Arizona. So I think it's kind of an interesting spot that if you wanted to get different for a player who's going to have no ownership, I think you could maybe look to play that.
At a position that's been historically bad, and we don't have any value on this slate. So,
makes sense. Yeah. Okay. Let's go ahead and jump over to tight end. Let's jump over to defense.
There's only one defense I'm playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Washington. I'm playing Washington against Ellinger. He won. There was two things that he did in the preseason. He did look rather good, but A, he wanted to push the ball deep down the field. B, he took 5 sacks in his 3 games that he played, and he only played, you know, a quarter or 2 quarters each game that he played. So, I mean, he was on pace for 3 to 5 sacks each game, each preseason game, because he did not play full games, only played a quarter or 2 quarters at most, and still took 5 sacks in across those 3 games. So he will hold on to the ball. He will take sacks, and he wants to work the ball down the field. At least he did in preseason. So if he's doing that, those are all the recipes for defenses to score points.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing to argue with me here for that. I also
they're going to be high owned, but I really don't care.
Right. I also think the Rams is kind of intriguing as well. Jimmy Garoppolo, especially if you're able to get pressure on him,
Debo.
Yeah, $2,700. I think that is something that you could look at as well, especially at home. So $2,700 Rams defense, I think is where I'd go. So, other than that, I think that kind of wraps it up. I don't really need to get into too much else on the defensive side of the ball. So why don't we go ahead and make a lineup?
All right.
You can start it off.
Let's do Olave, since we both love him.
You know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go Andy Dalton.
All right, then play Kamara. And you can play your boy.
Davante Adams. So we need a running back. We have 45-60 remaining.
Okay. I'll give us some salary with Commanders D.
Commanders. Okay. So that breaks up to 5K per position. We need a running back, a wide receiver, a tight end, and a flex. I'm going to go with Irv Smith.
Okay. Tony Pollard.
Okay, so we need a wide receiver and a flex. $5,300 remaining.
Oh, there's a perfect one. We can go Mostert in the flex and Wandale a wide receiver. Fits like a glove.
Yeah, it does, actually.
And they get you exposure to Miami. I think fading Miami completely is probably a death wish.
Yeah, so all right. So we'll go ahead and lock this one in. We got Andy Dalton, Alvin Kamara, Tony Pollard, Chris Olave, Davante Adams, Wandale Robinson, Irv Smith, Raheem Mostert, and the Commanders D at defense with no money left remaining. We're going to lock that one in. I like that team.
I do too. It's got high upside if that Vegas New Orleans game shoots out, and it should be the lowest owned of the 3 big games. And we've got Mostert, which should be the lowest owned piece of Miami too. So,
yeah.
High upside spots, low ownership.
All right. Before we wrap this up, I promised Tam in our chat that was over here that we would answer. She had a question. She's still new to DFS. Why stack? Still learning.
So when you stack, that it forces you to get less things correct on a slate. So let's say hypothetically you don't stack, right? You play QB without wide receivers. And you play every wide receiver and tight end you have is from an individual team. For you to win a tournament, each of those individual players have to be the highest scoring player on their teams without their teammates doing anything crazy as well. And typically that doesn't happen. When we see guys absolutely smash, especially through passing attacks, it's because the game environment as a whole is what is smashing. And so when that happens, it's usually 2 to 3 guys that go pair with the quarterback. So I guess a good example, what's a good example? A good example would be that Miami-Baltimore game in week 2? It was 42-38, right? If you played Tua, who scored a ton of points, he took both Tyreek and Waddle with him. Like, I think Tua had 43 points and Tyreek had 40-something points and Waddle almost had 40 points. Like, that stack as a whole was where all the points of that whole weekend basically came from. And the Ravens crushed on the other side. And so usually you just want to pick a game that you think is going to crush and play a quarterback, especially if they're not a mobile quarterback. If they're not a mobile quarterback, you need them to throw at least 3 touchdowns for them to have a chance to be in the winning lineup, but sometimes 4. So if that's happening, they're not all going to one person. And you want to be able to capture as many of those touchdowns as you can. And so by betting on one game to go nuclear, that's covering four spots, five spots of your lineup that you're making. And it forces you to get less things right. So by me saying that one game is going to be the best game of the slate, I am now predicting that one thing is going to happen, but it's covering five of my spots on my team, as opposed to saying, oh, let me pick these five individual players, and I now have to be right that those five individual players are going to be the highest scoring players from their team while none of their teammates do anything good. So that's why stacking is optimal and is the best way to approach NFL.
Yeah, and Tam, I don't know if you're still in here, but I'll also say that, especially if you're new to DFS, some of this may be obvious, but like avoiding, especially contest selection, is very important. Don't go to the $3, what is it, the 450,000 contest entry, whatever, where there's like it's 1.1 million, whatever. Obviously, the prizes look awesome, but the chance of you winning that are slim to none. So, yep. Like, you have a better chance of winning the lottery. Like, go find the especially right now, you're trying to build a little bit of a bankroll, try to win a little bit of money. You know, try to go find the smaller contest with maybe only 2,000 or 3,000 people in it, or something like that. You may not pay a lot, whatever. That's totally fine. You know, start learning, start building a bankroll up, and then but just avoid those top heavy, the ones that they're featured, you know, and all that stuff, because you're probably never going to win anything. You know, if you want to throw in a couple lineups into one of them, do it, because like I would like want to jump off a bridge if I put together the nuts lineup and it wasn't in something that could win. But I wouldn't go crazy. Like, that's not where I would put all my money into, and that's where I would focus on, because you're going to get run over in those ones. And like I said, it's almost like winning the lottery if you happen to put together a good enough lineup to hit one of those smaller, we talk about it a lot, like single entry is certainly single entry, three entry max is definitely where I would want to look at most. Maybe if you want to do a 20 entry max, I think you could do that, but that's probably a little bit too high. Again, single entry, three entry max is probably the best spots to go to in my mind, because then you're not worried about these guys that are out here at max multi-entering at 150 lineups, and you have your five lineups in there compared to their 150, and they're able to cover all their bases, where you're not really going to be able to do that. The chance of you winning just drops significantly from there. So single entry, three entry max is really the best way to go. You know, you could do some 20 entry max or some decent contests that are just 20 entry max as well, and it kind of gives you a little bit better of an opportunity. So contest selection matters a lot in terms of, you know, being able to build. You know, and honestly, I would rather play one lineup every single week that was like in a $20 or $50 contest for an entry fee versus, you know, playing in a $1 entry fee that's a 20 entry max, doing that, because, you know, you could have a good lineup and maybe it only gets you $6 versus something like that. If you hit on a, you know, like I said, a $20 or $50 entry fee, you're going to win significantly more money, and you don't need as much to be able to do it either. So,
yeah, the goal is to come in first at least once each season. Because if you come in first place, you're likely 50x, 100x what your entry fee was. And now you could lose the other 16, 17, 18 weeks, and you're still ahead for the whole year. So the goal is to come in first at least one time for the season. And the best way to do that is to, I personally do not play in contests that are over 1,000 entrants. And that's because I want to increase my chances of coming in first. Now, granted, I play in higher dollar contests, but you know, I've gotten there by building my bankroll, by playing in these single entries and three entry max, contests where I've had, you know, first place finishes. So winning first place more often is easier to do in these contests that have less people in it. And also, one last point I'll make is when you're playing against those, you know, where there's 20,000 entrants or 25,000 entrants or, you know, 200,000 entrants, the guy in first place will always, always, always have that 0.2% owned guy that went for 100 yards that you were not even considering. That is Min Price. He just played him just to play him. He scored 100 yards and two touchdowns on three catches, and he's got him. You don't. And you can no longer win first place because you don't have that guy. So when you play in the smaller fields, those guys get eliminated because there's less combinations and people don't take those chances on guys like that. So it's just a more winnable contest structure.
Yeah, I completely agree. And lastly, so you can look at predicted high score games to help. Yes. Really, Tam, the easiest thing you can do is go just go on Google, type in the one I like is NFL Fantasy from Fantasy Labs, just because it's live and they update it all the time. But just type in like week 8 NFL implied point totals. And then, like I said, Fantasy Labs has one. It's free. And there's a bunch of different stuff in there that you can click on. You can go to live for like the scoring. That would be your implied point totals. And then you have the over-unders, and you can just click live at once, and then it'll bring up the top. And then you can just kind of look and see, okay, these are the kind of the top scoring games on the slate for Vegas that week. And those are kind of the games that I would look to, you know, kind of pick from. You know, if you got a feel for what maybe a game that's, you know, kind of in that mid-tier, you don't have to just play game the guys from the, you know, the 51.5 point total. You know, you could have, because Vegas has been really not good this year. I think the under has hit like 60% of the time this year or something like that so far. Like, so Vegas has not been very great so far this year. So finding, you know, a game like, you know, like Seattle, the Giants, that's 45 point total, something like that, where maybe it's not as high. I think, you know, can obviously pay off as well. If you can find a stack like that, that's really on as well. You don't always have to go straight to the top. So I just wanted to mention that as well. So,
yeah, yes. Definitely. Vegas, they have millions and millions and millions of dollars in play on both sides of games every single week. So their lines have to be efficient, and they're absolutely the best at it because they have to be. So it's definitely a really good rule of thumb to start there. I wouldn't let it be the end all be all though, because like Kev said, you know, there's a lot of times those 50 point games end up, you know, 24 to 21 and they still score 45 points, but you know, it's only three touchdowns on both sides, but then you've got a 45 point total like Miami and Baltimore that week. There was, I think, one game or two games that had a higher total than them, but with all the firepower on both offenses, I think it was like a 45 total, and nobody played that game. And it's like, when I look back at it, I'm thinking to myself, why didn't I play that game, right? Because nobody was on that game, but it's a game that could have exploded on both sides of the ball, and it did. It was 42 to 38. So you want to just try to identify, you know, which games have a chance to go, quote-unquote, nuclear that week, and, you know, try to pick one of those games that you like the most. Or if there's a game like last week, Kev really liked the Chiefs against San Francisco, a banged up San Francisco defense, and the Chiefs were coming in at 2% owned. And it's like, why don't you just play Patrick Mahomes when he's 2% owned and Travis Kelce when he's 2% owned and Juju Smith-Schuster attached to Patrick Mahomes when nobody's playing the Chiefs at all? And that ended up being Mecole Hardman, same thing, scored three touchdowns. Like, those are just... It's just getting yourself exposed to game environments that other people aren't getting exposed to that have a chance to be really high scoring is the quickest way to vault yourself to the top of the leaderboards.
Yeah. So, and Tam, you know, if you ever have any questions, I know you're in our Discord. You can jump over to the DFS if you have any questions as well. Yep. You can tag either one of us so we could talk more over there as well. Waleed, appreciate the super chat. $5 holler.
As always.
Appreciate DJ Nation. Appreciate you. Actually, he jumped on with me last night and for our live stream because Cody couldn't. So, but yeah, so that was good times with Man Bun Waleedo over there. They were having a hard time in our Discord today about his man bun. Hey, it's whatever, man. It's cool. No big deal.
But do they not do haircuts in Canada?
I guess not. You know, I guess maybe there's.
I say that as I need to get one myself. I haven't cut my hair in forever.
Maybe they don't have sports clips there or something like that. You know. So, anyways, I appreciate everybody. We spent a little longer than we normally do, but we talked about a lot of different things. But anyways, I appreciate everybody checking out and being here. If you have any questions, like I said, you can jump into our absolutely free Discord. The link will be in the description of any video or in the podcast feed. It'll also be in there as well. So hope everybody has a good weekend. Let's win some money this weekend. I hope everybody has a good Halloween weekend. Stay safe out there, and we will catch you guys on the next one. We out! Who you're talking to? Well, you better get used to the way the war about you. I see what you got in measures and ounces, but that's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down. Think you're rocking up. Think you're rocking up. Think you're a big man. Ha 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 ha.
you like your little man. Tell me what to do. You know who you're talking to. Just stop wanting me to be someone else. Be like a book on a shelf that you can be, boy. Yeah, that you can be, little man.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.